Welcome to the Dark Knight Podcast.
Welcome to the Dark Knight Podcast. I'm Tony.
And I'm Sam. If this is your first time listening to the Dark Knight Podcast, we talk about creepy, scary ghosts or creatures and mysteries and things like serial killers and natural disasters. Just creepy stuff in general.
Yeah, and if you haven't listened to the Dark Sode that we should be released before this episode, we are basically just rearranging how we do the podcast. We have two different types of episodes. One's going to be a regular episode, and then another is going to be a Dark Sode. And the difference between the two is the regular episodes, either Sam or I do research on the topic and then we talk about that. Whether it be ghosts or serial killers or anything of that nature, something that could be creepy or scary, like Sam said in the beginning. And then the Dark Sodes is that's where we're going to now just hang out, talk about certain little topics, just topic starters, I mean conversation starters. Which that Dark Sode should be released before this episode, so that's going to be the difference between the two episodes. And this is going to be a regular episode, and I will be talking about a topic.
And may I ask what your topic is?
So I'm going to be talking about Jack Henry Abbott. Have you heard of Jack Henry Abbott before?
No.
I've heard of him before, but I'll explain who he is. So Abbott was a child of an American soldier and a Chinese woman, and he was born on an army base in Michigan. And by his teens, he already had like a long list of delinquencies. He wasn't a well-behaved kid. And by that point, he ended up getting sent to a reform school. And by the age of 21, Abbott got himself sent to prison for forgery. And so while he was at prison, Abbott ended up murdering his cell inmate, which added time on top of his original sentence. So they gave him like an additional 3 to 20 years. And after he got additional time, in 1971, Abbott was able to escape from the prison, and he decided that he wanted to rob a bank. So he ended up robbing a bank.
Sounds fun.
But of course, he ended up getting caught again. And when he was sent back to prison, he got another 19 years added on top of his sentence. So I actually didn't see how long his first sentence was going to be. I don't think it was going to be for too long, since it was just for forgery. But we already knew it was 3 to 20 years, then an additional 19. So it could have been 21 to almost 40 years, so 39 years.
Damn. And how old was he again?
And he was 21 when he went to jail. And then I actually don't have his birthday written down.
Oh, here. Well, he was 21, so he was probably like in...
Yeah, he was probably like around like his mid-20s.
Yeah.
So after he was sent back to the prison, Abbott was constantly causing problems with the guards. He wouldn't listen. He wouldn't take orders. So he wasn't like a good prisoner. He was a bad prisoner. He would just constantly cause problems. And while he was in confinement, Abbott ended up reading a book written by Norman Mailer. Norman Mailer? My mouth made some weird little sound. So Mailer was an author who won a Pulitzer Prize for nonfiction. And then also he was awarded with the National Book Award. So he was a well-known writer. He was, if you win the Pulitzer Prize, that's like a really big deal. So Abbott ended up contacting Mailer and offered him to write to him about his experiences in prison, and Mailer took him up on that offer. He thought it would be interesting, and so they ended up, you know, writing back and forth for a while and developed like a relationship. They were like friends, I guess, in a way. And Mailer ended up helping Abbott publish his book, which was called In the Belly of the Beast, which was comprised of the letters that Abbott sent to Mailer. So with this book, Abbott was thrown into, you know, the world of literature, and people started talking to him in like high regards. They're saying that he was a good writer, and they liked how he thought. And so, you know, things are looking up.
Yeah.
And in 1980, Abbott had a parole hearing to discuss if he's like okay for an early release. So this is only 9 years after he broke out of prison, he robbed a bank, and then he, you know, well, he murdered his inmate, robbed a bank, and then he got sent back to prison.
And they gave him a parole hearing?
They gave him, yeah, a parole hearing. Wow. And Mailer went to the parole hearing in support of Abbott, and Mailer was able to win over the parole board. So Abbott got his freedom. He was released early. So what do you think happened after Abbott got his freedom and he got his book was fairly, like, reasonably successful? Of course, you know, he turned his life around. He took advantage of...
First, I want to ask, can we get that book?
I think it's still available.
I wonder. I just wanted to know. 'Cause that sounds really random for, yeah. Okay. I think he got with somebody. And with that person, he ended up robbing or he ended up killing somebody. Or killing that person.
So you have no faith in Abbott? You don't think he became a good citizen?
No. I don't. Okay. Like, I don't even know when he got that parole hearing. But yeah, I mean...
Only 9 years after?
Yeah.
Okay. So, just 6 weeks after his release, Abbott got into an altercation with a 22-year-old Richard Adden over being able to use a restroom at Adden's father-in-law's cafe. So Adden had told Abbott that it was for employee use only, and Abbott got upset and he stabbed and killed Adden.
That sounds like something that would not happen to a good prisoner that gets released from jail early in time.
No, but he was a good writer, so you don't understand.
Oh, okay.
So Abbott ran away, and while, you know, people were still unaware of what Abbott did, the New York Times posted an article with positive reviews about his book. So, you know, he actually did have, you know, a seemingly good future, a good opportunity to turn his life around and actually just start focusing on writing and stuff. So, of course, he didn't take that opportunity, and eventually he was caught and tried on January of 1982, and he was convicted and sentenced to 15 years.
That sounds about right.
Yeah. And then not only that, Richard Adden's widow ended up suing Abbott, and she ended up winning, and all his profits went to her. He had to pay everything to her. Was only left with like $12,000.
That sucks, but I mean, karma is a bitch.
Imagine he ended up making $7.5 million off of that book, and he threw all that money away, and he threw his opportunity to be like a good writer and have a good life. He threw it away just because he wanted to use a restroom and he wasn't able to.
That sounds like something a killer would do. Or not even a killer, a psycho person that can't think.
Yeah.
Yeah, not even a killer, just like somebody in general that just doesn't know how to think.
So Abbott tried to release another book, but this time it wasn't as successful. And
what year was this?
He wrote another book in 2002.
If he tried, well, never mind. But if like a killer would write a book nowadays, I think it would be very famous.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I think they still do. I don't know. I don't really look into what books are being released. Into
that, 'cause that's just so random. I mean, I wouldn't want to buy it because I don't want the serial killer to get any money. But I mean, I'll read a review on it.
Yeah, it'd be interesting.
A recap.
But Abbott's life came to an end when he took his own life by making a makeshift noose out of his clothes and blankets, and he hung himself. And so that's how Jack Henry Abbott died.
Wow. I mean, his life seems so crazy. He could have
been super rich. He actually had a really good opportunity. He got really lucky. And
he went from shitty to robbing a bank to making money. No, to getting released, making money, and then everything after that went to shit. Wow. Yeah. That seems like a really dumb person.
Yeah. For someone that's supposedly really smart and can really write good.
I guess that did not help him at all.
Yeah, he was really bad at making life choices.
Wow.
But I did get down some quotes from his books that I thought were pretty interesting. Just to kind of give a little example of how he wrote and what his mind was thinking like. So this quote is, "The only time they appear human is when you have a knife at their throats. The instant you remove it, they fall back into animality, obscenity." So that's one of his quotes from In the Belly of the Beast.
I think I've heard that book before.
Yeah, I've
no, heard I mean the name before. Of it. Like, yeah.
I've never read it, but I've heard it a book before. And then the second quote I have is, "I would never say to justify a lapsus principle, I am only human, as though there were some kind of justification for weakness, moral weakness. Flesh and blood is much, much stronger than fools believe." Mm-hmm. Which I could see that, yeah, he is a good writer, but I did read a couple quotes where like the thoughts that he was trying to put out made it seem like he wanted to make it sound smart, but the statement in general didn't make sense. But he was like wording it in a way that, you know, it would make him out to be a smart person. But yeah. So I probably could have added one of those quotes, but just reading it, I was like, it's a dumb statement. But his wording
in that time, he sounded smart.
Yeah.
Nowadays,
so,
you know.
So that's Jack Henry Abbott.
Wow. It, like, in a moment, I felt kind of bad for him because he lost all that money. I mean, that would break my heart. But at the same time, he did kill, and then, you know, he wasn't a good person, and he was a brat in jail. I feel bad for the cops that were taking care. What do they call them? Like, the wardens or
guards? Prison guards?
Prison guards or whatever. I feel bad for them.
Yeah, like, he wasn't a good person from the beginning to the end. But he had a really good opportunity and, of course, didn't take advantage of that. And now he's dead.
That's what I... Why did he kill himself? Like, why?
Well, because it wasn't... I mean, by that point, he was stuck in prison. He tried writing again. It wasn't working out for him this time. He didn't have the support from Mailer anymore. And so, yeah.
Yeah, I do kind of feel a little bad.
I don't feel bad for him. No.
No, like, not bad. Like, oh, no, pobrecito. Like, it's just like, damn, that sucks.
Well, yeah, I mean, it does suck, but he gets... I guess you could say that, well, yeah, what comes around goes around, because the actions he had in his early life...
I mean, like I said...
And then it brought him up to have a lot to lose, and he ended up losing it all, so...
Karma,
there you go.
Bish.
So, yeah, hopefully you guys enjoyed this episode, and hopefully, you know, if you guys have any suggestions, there you go, that's the word, any suggestions of people we should cover or anything we should talk about, just let us know. And we have an email at thedarknightpodcast.com. We also have a website that has all our social medias, all our information on how you can contact us.
You said an email.
We do have an email.
How did you say it?
TheDarkNightPodcast.com. I don't know how to. Wait.
I'm like, wait. What are you talking about?
Okay, so anyways, let me take that back. we have a website, TheDarkNightPodcast.com, where you can find all our information on how to contact us and anything like that.
I was so like, confused. What did you say? Like, I'm looking at the paper right now, and I'm like, did he say what I'm reading, or did he say something else?
Yeah, so hopefully you enjoyed that episode.
Yes, and I was gonna say, I got so distracted.
Well, hope you return for the next episode.
Yes, and I don't know what to say. Oh my god. Okay, well, then we'll just okay. End it here. Okay. Yeah, we're done.
Have a nice night or day or whatever time it is. And until next time, I'm Tony.
I'm Sam.
And we'll see what lies next.
In the dark night. Oh my god.
Ha 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 ha!